If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Dale living in here. Well, I can't even say in here because I'm actually sitting outside. But we're in the lobby. We're in the show. We're in the YouTube, the interwebs with none other than the best damn bro host I could hope for, Trey Van Buskirk. What's up, dude?
I feel like seldom do I ever see you this happy. You called me earlier and You're like, dude, we got to FaceTime. I got to see my audio connection here. And the smile on your face, I didn't even say like anything cool that you would smile, but you looked like, I mean, you were definitely all red and flushed. So clearly you haven't been in the sun in a while. You kind of looked like a Santa Claus that did a 5K. He was flushed and very red, but he was very happy that he completed the 5K.
Nothing makes me happier than not working. Like being on vacation is a unique level of happiness for me, because I mean, I've said this to you before, I hold a very strong disdain in my heart for the tax system of this country, that are, you know, if I could go back in time, like when you say like, hey, you want to go back in time? I do want to go back in time. And I would punch FDR in the face. I'd punch him in the face. Welfare, Social Security, income tax, dead to me. So right. I carry and harbor quite a bit of resentment most days that I work, knowing full well that what I work for gets taken from me through the idea of tax. And then I go to the gas station and I've got to pay more tax. And then if I were to somehow scrape ahead, I've got to pay capital gains tax. And then the money that I am making that I'm paying taxes on then gets to go to people that don't work, that don't contribute to the tax cycle. And then everything in the grocery store is between 17 and 35% more expensive, even though the Fed says that it's only up 8.6%. So it's very strange to me how everything in my life costs me money, no matter how much harder I work. The only thing that doesn't cost me money is this feeling that I get when I'm on vacation. So I'm sitting at the beach right now. I can see ships passing. You can probably hear the waves. I am extremely happy. So thank you for noticing.
Well, I think also your earnest cash, you were allocating that to High Noons. I saw earlier today, you were drinking High Noons at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Correct. Yeah. I'm not good with time zones. So I just figured that median average nooner, you know what I mean? Like noonish, just get after it.
Yeah, I didn't take you for a dude that drinks what 13-year-old girls drinks, but you know, that's a discussion for another day.
Well, 100%. But here's the thing, right? Is that this is day three here, and the first 2 days I've been pounding beer. And to be honest with you, my body is kind of like beered out. You know what I mean? Like,
I get that.
At a certain point, you're like, oh man. And the other thing is too, is like, I'm the only person in the house here. My wife and I, we're here with a bunch of family. We're like the only craft beer drinkers. Ooh. So everybody else is like slamming Coors and Busch and stuff like that. So like, you know, drinking 8, 9, 12% beers in the sun for 2 days straight, you know, High Noons are okay, buddy. You know, just that's my water at this point.
Dude, with those craft beers, are you just coming downstairs in the Airbnb, like pinkies up with a robe on and looking at these Busch Light drinkers and saying, you peasants.
No, what's actually really funny is like, so my mom's here and we have a local brewery in Charleston called Edmund's Oast. And I've sung their praises to you before, but they're throughout the Southeast and they had the grocery store here had a bunch of their beers. So I bought one that was a 9% and the wife and I were drinking them last night. And I was like, Mom, come try this beer. No, and anything over 4% is not it for her. And this is a 9%er. And she took a sip and she was like, oh my God. I was like, I poisoned her, bro.
Oh man. Well, what you should have done, like what I'm doing tonight, I'm obviously our unofficially sponsored tequila margarita OG drink of Cutwater. Still yeah. are not sponsored. One day will be. Dale, I will only drink stuff that I am not sponsored by, and I will put so much money into this company until we get sponsored that I may go broke.
Yeah, I'm upset with Emily, if I'm being honest. Emily, email us back.
We're name dropping. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to give her address too?
Well, no, I feel like Emily and I are so close to becoming great friends and she just doesn't know it yet. Like if you right. just give us the chance, we got one email, we sent an email back, we got another email, we sent another email back, and then that was it. We haven't heard anything. So it was just like, let's become best friends. Let's do karate in the garage. Let's yes. slam Cutwaters. Just email me back.
I don't understand it. Like clearly they want like hot influencers. I'm going to be honest. This ring light I have on my face right now, my teeth look fantastic. I've got the bosoms. That's because of the craft beer. I feel like I could be that, Dale.
I do. Listen, there is not a person on earth. Here's the thing is like, if we like shaved you and like got like put some gel in your hair, some pomade and like Dolphin. Had you like holding a surfboard or something like that, people right. like that's the aesthetic that companies like that go for.
I know.
Like you've got like this wish.com Luke Rockhold thing going on. I mean, we would definitely move some cocktails. There's no problem. There's no doubt about that.
Well, it's just funny how steadfast we are in getting this sponsor because Manscaped reached out to us to pay us. And we said, no, we're holding out. We're holding out for Cutwater.
I won't do it, man.
We're not the most financially smart people. But that's
We are financially smart. The problem is that we signed like non-compete agreements with Manscaped last time we did ad reads for them because they said they were going to use some of our ideas for commercials.
Right.
And then never followed through on anything they said they were going to do. So I know that they use like a third party marketing system. Like it's not directly with them. Like they went through somebody to reach out to us, but all the same, I don't know, some old timey phrase about keeping your promises insert there. So,
yep. Exactly.
But anyway, people that do pay us and that we do love quite dearly, you and I both, you can't really tell, but I've got the Allegiance hat on. I see you have the Allegiance hat on as well. Big shout out to Roy. You said Roy was sending you the XS Hedge t-shirts, right?
They have arrived. They have arrived. Yes. We are ready to act as if it is the 12 days of Christmas here, good sir. Let's blast these out to the people.
Well, we have three that we need to get out. So, I can't remember. I don't want to say the wrong names, but we have three people that we've already awarded shirts to because they helped us out with the Run It Back Boys giveaway. So let's get those shirts out in the mail to them. And in the meantime, if you guys want to go to allegianceclothing.com and use promo code PUNCH, you can save 15% on everything site-wide while you're waiting for our next shirt to drop or the next giveaway for a shirt. Yeah?
That sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
So, outside of that, you don't have tonight. I'm going to tell you something. So, like I said, we got 50 people in the house. I got tasked with cooking steak, right? Like ribeyes, strip steaks, the whole nine.
Yeah.
And, one, I don't have my Traeger, so I haven't cooked on propane in a minute. So
gross.
Learning how to ride a bike again. But then two, I cooked steak that wasn't steak lassi meat.
Oh, disgusting.
I felt gross.
Did you?
I felt gross. Dude, everybody's eating it and they're like, oh, this is so good. I love this. Oh man, you did a great job on these steaks. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And then I'm like eating it. And I'm like, oh, this isn't like this. You know, you always talk about the peasants thing. This was like the one time where like my wife and I are like eating the steaks and we're like, this is it. Like, this is good. This isn't good meat. This isn't Steak Classy Meats. So, Steak Classy Meats promo code FIST, saving 10% on the entire thing. Dude, when you go so long with only eating like freaking like farm to table, no GMO, no hormone, like happy cows, like cows that were happy right up until they were dead, it's a weird difference to like get like that stressed out, Like super soaked in preservative freaking ribeye. It's a very weird feeling.
That's weird. Can you actually taste the happiness?
Yes. No, having tasted sad cow today, I now know what happy cow tastes like.
Oh man. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Sad cow. That doesn't sound nice. That's no good. That's no bueno. Speaking of which, actually, Dale, I was a sad cow on Saturday.
What'd you do?
I sucked ass at betting. That's what I did. It's what I did.
Bro, MMA betting is so hard.
Dude, it's so hard. And you know what's so funny? Just like anything, sometimes I just want to get retargeted on Instagram by certain things. Like I might be into, great example, the Masters was on this past weekend. Talking about the Masters, talking about Scottie Scheffler. All of a sudden, Titleist, TaylorMade, Cobra. I'm getting targeted on Instagram like crazy. On Saturday, it was fuck this. How's that happening? That's unbelievable. This sport's rigged. This is stupid. And then now it's, you have a gambling problem. You have a gambling problem. UFC, UFC. That is how I've been getting retargeted. But I will say, everyone was in our boat. There was a lot of things that happened that were not of norm, not things that people could have predicted. There was a lot of things that, to be honest though, leave me with a lot of frustration. What was your most frustrating thing from last weekend at UFC 273?
How long the event was.
That's a good one.
Bro, like two finishes the entire card. That card took forever. Like, look, it's one thing, five round title fights and the whole nine. But I can't watch Korean Zombie and Alexander Volkanovsky play punch face at 1:30 in the morning Eastern time and be hyped about it. Like,
I just don't understand
what I have read and what I saw was a very dominant Alexander Volkanovsky. Now, everybody talked about that performance. Like, Jesus showed up at 1:30 in the morning and put on a clinic against the Zombie, right?
Right.
Like, Jesus defeated the grave yet again when he killed the Zombie. That's what I'm reading online. I don't really remember the fight all that much. And it's not because I had too many cutwaters. But it's because it was 1:30 in the morning and I was watching it like with one eye open. Now, normally, you know, after an event, I can't sleep. I'm too hyped up. You and I text till the wee hours of the morning. But right. It took so long to get there. And the adrenaline dump from the Chimaev Burns fight was so huge. And then the anger adrenaline dump from this Petr Yan Aljamain Sterling fight was doubly as large. That by the time Volkanovski walked in the cage, I was just like, I don't give a shit. Volk's going to win. That's it. I don't care. We had lost every bet up until that point. I was just like, just get it over with. Just knock him out, Volk, because it's the only thing that we can lose money on. And he goes out there and knocks him. And I'm like, dude, and I was like, super. This is great.
So good. So good. You touched upon it for a quick second, though. I do want to get your take because I've gone back and forth a couple times, did a little tape study, watched the fight back.
Yeah.
Walk me through. Do we think that Yan won? Do we think Sterling won?
I stand by. Oh gosh, it's really hard for me because I'm torn. I'm torn. You see a man divided here. Part of me wants the idea of the pride Bushido rules, where whoever's winning the fight at the end of the time is the winner of the fight.
Right.
But then the other part of me says, you score the fight one round at a time. So in reality, a guy like Aljamain Sterling can win the first three rounds and then get his dick kicked from pillar to post for the next 10 minutes and still win the fight. You can end the fight laying face down, prostrate on your hands and knees, getting punched in the face, gasping for air, knowing death is just around the corner if the fight goes on another 2 minutes. Stand to your feet and then go, yep, I won that fight, and then get awarded the victory. So in my mind, I'm going, Yan won this fight, right? But looking back on it, if you believe Aljamain won round one, he clearly won rounds two and three. You can't argue that. If you believe he won round one, then yes, he did enough to win the belt. But damn it, I mean, he won it in the most Aljamain Sterling fashion possible. He somehow comes out more hateable after that than he did even with the knee.
Yeah, but you can't hate it, though, because if you hate that, you hate every Russian grappler on the planet, dude, because they exercise the exact same type of thing.
Yeah, that's just, I'm divided because he used it against me, so it makes me rebel against it. And I also just, I feel like even when the Russians do it, they're not dead and dying on the mat near collapse from getting the shit kicked out of them, and then they still win. Like that,
yeah.
Usually that's not how it goes.
My favorite part of the entire event came in one soundbite, and that was Ray Longo in between rounds. Two and three. Yeah. Looking over at Jan and say, look at that motherfucker. Look at that motherfucker. I was like, God damn it, Ray Longo. You get me so jacked, dude. I'm all hyped. My nips are hard. I'm ready to go, dude. Like I could bust through a wall. I was straight up the Kool-Aid man, dude. When he said that, I was like, oh yeah, dude, let's get it. Ray Longo.
Yeah, it was
good. Loved it.
It was good. It was good. It was hype, man. Right. Ray Longo is good at lighting that fire in your chest for sure.
It was good. It was good. Now, we look at this card up ahead, UFC Vegas 51. We're back in the Apex Center. Not the name value that we want, Dale, but it's a fire card, dude. If we look at these matchups, like there's going to be some battle. There's going to be some bloodshed. There's some money to be had here.
Yeah, there definitely is, I think. I think we've got some good betting spots. You know, it's not difficult to turn this ship around because the ship's going down to the bottom of the ocean. So as long as we can get relive buoyancy, will be just fine here. And we have plenty of year to turn around. I mean, we haven't even hit Easter yet. So, you know, Q1 is just wrapping, Q2, you know, getting ready to get started here. So we're fine. 70% still the goal. We will achieve that. No worries. And, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, buddy. That single step could be this Saturday. We got Vicente Luque taking on Bilal Muhammad. So, first fight on the main card, we got a late last second replacement. Just a couple days' notice? Was it Anglusa taking on Manir Lazez? Lazez at the -200, Lusa at the +170. No overrunner on rounds yet because, like I said, they just announced this. So it's supposed to be Easy Dos Santos versus Lazez. But here we are. And yeah, I know you don't know a whole lot about Lusa, but I know you've seen Lazez fight before. There's a picture going around online where Lazez looks absolutely yoked. I think he's fighting out of Extreme Couture, or he's training there currently or whatever, and he moved from Nogueira. Yeah. He looks massive. Like first team all thick neck Manir Lazez.
Me likey, because that means that he's going to be a lot better in the clinch. He's an explosive fighter. I like kind of the Muay Thai style that he has, kickboxing a little bit from distance, but that explosion forward, dude. You have a full camp. You have someone coming in. I'm actually surprised this line is that narrow given a 4-day notice. Like, what is the logic there?
I think Lusa just fought recently, if I'm not mistaken. You're breaking the news to me prior to us getting on here that the Dos Santos fight was off. If I'm not mistaken, Lusa just fought relatively recently.
Yeah, he did. He fought literally 2 weeks ago.
Was it on PFL?
It was on XMMA for Black Magic, right? Against John Howard.
Against John Howard, Duse Howard. That's right. It was the XMMA card. That was the one that was headlined by Dodson and Rivera. Yeah. The XMMA card. Yeah, I remember that because I had that pulled up. Shout out to people that do their events for free on YouTube, by the way. XMMA had that up, which was fantastic, and through their website, which was fun. They had Gilbert Melendez and some other cat doing the commentary.
That's cool.
There were some spots where it was rough. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, you look at this here, and, you know, he fought 2 weeks ago. He's coming out of Stanford MMA, so he's coming through a good camp. John Howard, I can't speak to actually his capabilities here, but...
What are you talking about? Doomsday's a beast, bro. That's a quality win. He looked good. I watched this fight. I watched Lusa versus Howard. He looked good.
Well, can we take him at a +170 against yoke Lazzy's? Absolutely not, dude. No way.
Not absolutely not. -200, we're putting it on the near.
Okay, well, there we go. Boom.
Yeah. Boom. I will say this, though. People really like Lusa. Things coming out of Switzerland. I think like that's the flag is Switzerland. Yeah. And I'm sitting outside. I have no other monitors, no notes here. So we're really going to test the noodle tonight. Fighting out of Switzerland, Sanford. People are high on him, man, because he only has one loss on his record. Was he 8-1, 7-1?
He's pull it up here. He is 8-2. Yeah. Jonathan Thompson, he lost a split back at LFA guy. Oh man.
Your LFA guys. All right. Yeah, we're on Lizez. We're gonna give him one more chance here. Well, Lizez lost his last fight, did he not? Jeez, I got you clicking everywhere. I'm sorry. Normally this stuff I just have ready to rock and roll, but
he did, and it was against Warley Alves. I remember that fight. Yeah. That was back a year ago.
Fight Island. Alves came out and was throwing vicious body kicks. Like all of a sudden, like Alves learned how to kick. He was like Khalil Roundtree when Khalil came back from Thailand. All of a sudden, like Alves came out and was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna kick the shit out of everybody now," and started kicking really hard and going because we were on Lizez. Because this what's his nickname? The Sniper or something like that? The
Sniper, yeah.
And we're like the Sniper over Warley Alves. And then Alves came out and made us look stupid. So yeah, shout out to Warley Alves. So hopefully Lizez doesn't make us look stupid two fights in a row.
Well, I think we were also on Lizez when he fought Abdul Razak Al Hassan. Remember that? That happened as well in 2020.
Yeah. But that was the thing where we were like against Al Hassan because of like the rape allegations. So we were like, nah, auto fade the rapist, alleged rapist.
Right. Yeah. Which some would call talent, you know, because we omitted like the rape from the fight, but then we did take that into account. So, you know, there was some strategery. There was strategery. All right. Well,
yeah, of course, always.
We want to talk about
what's the next fight?
First team all body, dude. Pat Sabatini versus TJ Laramie here.
Is that fight still on?
I think it's still on. I know you said you don't think it is. I thought it was still on. And I love me some Pat Sabatini. So if I have an opportunity to talk about Pat Sabatini, I'm going to talk about Pat Sabatini, dude.
Do it, man. Freaking Philly kid, great jits, good hands, tough as shit. Minus 500 is a bit of a price on him. TJ Laramie, you got to be worried about the wrestling. Cardio, we'll have to see. You know, if TJ can use the wrestling and put a pace on Pat, will Pat fade as the fight goes on? I like under 2.5. If you're looking at Sabatini's finish rate, let's go ahead and ride that submission, you know, momentum here. And then maybe we'll get lucky where Sabatini puts up a bad spot or exhausts himself going for submissions. And Laramie might get a little, you know, GMP finish under 2.5 and Pat Sabatini. I'm on board for both.
I love that. And I love how my bookie has the KO sub prop there because one, I think Sabatini could easily pull a heel or he could get some serious ground and pound. This guy is not only like freakishly strong, but he just has such great top control and pressure. So even if TJ's worthy of exercising his wrestling, I think Pat Sabatini is going to like maul him and be able to like break out of any type of clinch hold or whatever it may be up against the cage and hold dominant position. If he's able to do that, not only could he grapple fuck this thing and just win by points, but he has a strong opportunity being in top position to land ground and pound, get this thing done quickly. I think Philly, those people are bred differently, dude. Like they are. The fans are psycho. They're like, Cutwater sometimes, dude, like some word vomit sneak up on you. Dude, you could say some really bad things about Philly people, and I could totally do that, but I'm refusing to say that. I will say they're strong people. They believe in their fighters, and the people that come from there are usually cut from steel. Pat Sabatini is one of those people. This is a guy that eats rocks, probably crushed rocks, probably has brains of rocks, but he is smart as it comes into these fights. I'm taking Sabatini. I'm taking him by KO/sub prop, dude.
Yeah, I like that. Sabatini's not the dude to like snuff you with one punch. But his grappling is so good. He's like the type of dude to get you like in a crucifix and rain down elbows.
Yes.
And then the ref's just like, I got to stop this because you're never going to get out of this. And even though he can't like knock you out in these elbows, you can't do anything about this. So, KO sub prop. I love that. And then Sabatini. Let's do it.
Perfect. All right, probably the sexiest fight on the entire card, guy or chick, dude. Myra Buena Silva versus Yanan Wu, or Wu Yanan, however you want to do it in Chinese. Oh, bro.
Gosh, I really was not ready for you to name these two women after that buildup.
I know.
Okay, well, you told me on Saturday to shut up when it comes to women's MMA.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I'm gonna shut up. Go ahead and say what you need to say here.
Wu Yanan, there are some fighters that are on the roster. I honestly think they're there for like placeholders. There is no way that she is a legit UFC fighter. There's just no way. Like, I would literally call my wife and be like, hey, like, times are tough. Like, you know, I'm friends with Dana. I'm going to put you in this fight. Don't worry. You could beat the shit out of her. Like, style, technique is probably the exact same. You're just going to run, you know, and wave your hands. You might win. You probably will win.
Just windmill punch and spin in circles and kick if you get taken down, and you'll be fine. That's all you need. Yeah, for Myra Buena Silva should murder her. You're absolutely right.
Murder, dude, because she's not the most technically sound chick on it either, but she's overtly aggressive. She usually comes in with zero game plan, and she just throws the kitchen sink, but she's not scared. Dude, she will throw. Wu Yanan, she fights scared. She has no technique. She's just like this little mouse in the corner. Just like, fuck, dude. Like, I got to make it 15 minutes to at least get my show money. You know, she's going to lose so bad that Dana's not even going to pay the show money on this. Silva inside the distance, you know, minus 450 or minus 455. Juice that up. Silva inside the distance. And that is, we're talking women's MMA. That's an anomaly. That never happens. But Silva will win this inside the distance.
You know, it makes me nervous about Silva. The only thing that makes me nervous about her is she's got like that weird, like olive green skin that makes me think she's like missing some sort of vital nutrient in her diet. She's not getting it. But she always has deep black circles under her eyes, and her skin is like a shade of forest green. And it's like, are you getting all, like, you have scurvy? Are you getting all your nutrients? What's going on there? It's very, very concerning sometimes.
It's weird. When you said that, I just kind of had a flashback. I was reading something about Mark Wahlberg, yoke little midget within himself. You know what I mean? But he is putting on like a stupid amount of weight for some upcoming role. And he was talking about, you know, he has a crazy schedule, which is so funny because he has kids, and he lays out his plan, like, the rock status. Oh, I wake up at 3:30 and I do my first workout. And then I do a mental break, and then I take a rest. Then I hang out with kids for this time. And I do this to make it look like he's a family man, but he gets to work out like two times. He's got like seven different eating breaks. Like, I get it. You're a full on actor, but I'm bringing this up because to put on weight, which he's putting on a stupid amount of weight, he's drinking glasses of olive oil. Glasses.
Who is this?
Mark Wahlberg.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I'm over Mark Wahlberg. I'm the market got saturated with Marky Mark the last few years. I'm over it, man. There was a time where like the new Mark Wahlberg movie would come out, and I'd be like, oh shit, Mark Wahlberg's in this one. It's going to be good. But now I'm just like, nah, man, I'm good. Like, there was a stretch there. Dude, there was a stretch where it was like, there were like five Mark Wahlberg movies out at one time. Like within like consecutive months of each other.
No, but like, you always give me shit for not watching movies, and here you are getting excited about Mark Wahlberg movies, dude. That's like saying, oh dude, like, I cannot wait for the next Channing Tatum movie. Like, I cannot wait. What?
There was a time, hold on a second. There was a time, dude. So you got to think there, Mark Wahlberg put out like within a span of a couple years, he put out Four Brothers, he put out Lone Survivor, and he put out the Mickey Ward movie. Like, within 3 years, he put those movies out. I'm like, dude, Mark Wahlberg, yes, let's get it going. And then it was like, from the like, he put out like Ted 2 and 17 other movies in the last like 4 years. He did that bullshit movie with Ronda Rousey. He did a bunch of like straight to Netflix things, and now he's like one where he's like pretending to be a pastor, and it's always like, dude, I'm over. I'm Marky Marked out, man. Market is saturated for Mark.
He's like the modern day Adam Sandler, would you say?
No, because I can't get enough Sandler. Although Sandler did have a run there for a while, like between Jack and Jill and that weird Western that he did that were no good. The chat says Mark or Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf, 100%.
Yeah, well, same. 100%. That was a good question, though, because it's the same caliber. Like, not good.
Bullshit. You don't even, like, name a good actor. Who do you think is a better actor than Shia?
Oh, than Shia? Ryan Reynolds.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Definitely better looking.
That's not what we're here for. We're here for
acting. Is it not, though? Is it not?
No, it's not. We're here for acting ability, damn it.
I can't tell the difference. All right.
This is a pro Shia show. Then I won't tolerate this. Go ahead.
All right. Next fight. Miguel Baeza, Andre Filho. Filho, dude.
Filho. Is this the co-main? This can't be the co-main.
No, it's not the co-main.
Wait, we have a 6-fight main card?
Yeah, dude.
Nice. I like that. All right, dude. Baeza, Carmel Thunder, -170. Get him at a good price. +145 over and on rounds is at 1.5. Dude, you're getting him off the loss to Matt Brown. Time to recoup. My only thing with Baeza is his fight IQ is non-existent. Non-existent. And Filho looked good short notice in his last fight against who was that? Michelle Pereira, right? Is that who he fought short notice?
Yep.
Filho looked good. Yeah, looked good last time out against a big, long, dangerous, athletic Michelle Pereira. Although I think Michelle was fucking around a bit too much for my liking there. Baeza, more composed. If he does what he needs, again, it's what's a fighter most likely to do versus what is he going to do.
Right.
Chances are Miguel Baeza goes out there and fights like a moron and gets fucked up on the feet by Andre Filho. Right. +145 dog that'll fight for your money. Andre's probably the play here. Baeza by sub is an interesting prop.
See, dude, this is where I like your thought there. And I was there a couple hours ago, but I'm like, dude, strength of schedule here. Now we look at Miguel Baeza, dude, he lost to Chaos Williams, but that was in the Chaos Williams stage where the dude was a freaking truck, dude, just like laying people out. And then before that was Santiago Ponzinibbio, who's a freaking fantastic fighter within himself. Before that, Takashi Sato. So we have a guy that's very technical standing. He's fought a really, really good resume. Like the problem is it's exactly what you said with Baeza. He's someone that leaves himself open. He's someone that can absolutely take punishment. He's got a good sound, like ground foundation. So I like the sub prop there, but I just can't fade the UFC caliber that he's met. He sat those people down. Like, he sat Chaos Williams down. He sat Santiago Ponzinibbio down. Like, he has power in those fists. He has a sub game. He has a good solid foundation. The biggest worry is, again, him getting clipped in counters, which he is very prone to do.
Right. So, again, that's talking about what's most likely to happen. What's more likely to happen is him do the thing that he's never – that he doesn't do that often, or do the thing that he always does, which is get into a dogfight. He gets into a dogfight with Filho, he's going to lose. He's going to lose. What is Baeza in his last 4? 1-3?
Right, but the only time he's ever been truly knocked out or sat down was with Chaos Williams. Before that, Santiago Ponzinibbio was a decision loss. And then after that, dude, the guy's a killer. Arm triangles, he's got leg locks, he's got, you know, ground and pound wins. He hasn't lost since the Ponzinibbio thing, since 2010 or 9 or something like that. So do we really think that Andre is going to possess the same amount of power?
No. He just lost to Matt Brown like 6 months ago.
Who?
Miguel Baeza.
No, he did not, dude. His last loss was Chaos Williams.
Miguel Baeza.
He beat Matt Brown in 2020.
Where have I been? Did I fall into a vortex?
I guess, dude. You've had way, way too many high noons. It's hot out there.
Okay.
You're off the game, dude.
He beat Matt Brown.
He beat Matt Brown in 2020. And then after he beat Matt Brown, he fought Takashi Sato and beat Takashi Sato. Now he's on a 2-fight lose skid against Santiago Ponzinibbio and Chaos Williams.
Okay.
He had a canceled bout against Diego Lima, and now we're here against Andre.
Man, I missed 2 years there. Okay. All right. Sato's not a UFC level talent, and my memory is not UFC level today. So, anyway.
Ponzinibbio is,
yes. Although he has looked worse after coming back from his blood injury. So,
I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ride with you for a second. I'm going to take Andre. And the only reason I'm taking Andre is Miguel Baeza is open to getting clipped. Andre just moved to Sanford MMA. He's been off for a while. So he's had, what do you mean? Oh no, that's a good thing, dude. He was with some bullshit camp before that.
I hate Sanford. They're really good at making good fighters bad fighters.
What?
They make good fighters bad fighters. Sanford will take a wrestler and convince them they're a kickboxer. Like Henry Hooft only knows how to coach one way, and it's you will kickbox here. And if you cannot kickbox, then you will not be successful here. Hmm. You won't. Who's the biggest name coming out of Sanford right now?
Robbie Lawler.
No. Isn't Chandler out of there?
You got Rory McDonald. You've got.
Isn't Chandler out of there?
I don't know if Chandler's out of there.
Chandler's out of there. Spoiler alert.
Michael Johnson.
Dude, Michael Johnson's out of there. Michael Johnson's a stud, but Michael Johnson has a wrestling background. They turned him into a striker.
Derek Brunson. Anthony Johnson.
Derek Brunson just lost. Brunson just lost the last fight. Anthony Johnson's never going to fight again.
Whatever, dude. Greg Jones is a fantastic wrestling coach, and you can't tell me shit.
All right, man. That's fine. Michael Chandler's out of there. He's one of the most highly credentialed wrestlers that's ever competed inside any cage ever. And his last fights, all he's decided to do is he wanted to throw hands, thanks to Henry Hooft. So,
you know what Andre looks like?
Who's that?
He looks like did you ever see the second Creed? Did you ever see the second one?
You know what? I haven't. It's the one movie in the Rocky universe I have not seen.
You didn't see that? Where he fights Dolph Lundgren's son.
I have not seen it. I kid you not. It's the only movie it's actually, here's a better one. It with the exception of Prison, what is it? Not Prison Break.
That's a great show.
Great show, yeah. Sylvester Stallone did some movie, Escape from Prison, Prison Escape, or something like that. He did a second one. I haven't seen that Stallone movie, and I have not seen Creed 2. Those are the only two Sylvester Stallone movies I've never seen.
That's insane. Well, Andre looks like Dolph Lundgren's son, so that's scary. I'll ride with on him. Plus 145.
That's weird. A guy named Andre Filo looks like a Russian. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yep. Okay. Co-main event of the evening, dude. I don't know why.
No, that can't be right.
No, it's not, dude. That's right.
It's not correct. Pick a different fight. That's not it. Chal Barrello versus Gudzi. There's no way that's the co-main event of the evening.
It's actually going to be a firefight. Yes, it is, dude.
They would put Manel Capp and what's his face before they put that. There's no way.
No, bro, that's
that can't be right. And you, it's not. We've got to get confirmation. That can't be it. Gedeshi Ermagazev versus Chal Barrello is not the co-main event of the evening.
It has to be, dude.
I will wait while you confirm that this is not it. There's just no way.
All right, dude. I'm doing it. It's kind of hard to do this when you're seeing seven different letters on your keyboard because the cutwater's hitting hard.
Cutwater's right. Well, if you actually ate anything throughout the day, one margarita wouldn't do you in.
I'm intermittent fasting for the entire day.
Yeah.
Count
my macros, bro.
What is a macro, dude?
I have no idea. People say it, and it just sounds like a 50 thing.
All right, here we go. Let me take a gander here at Kyo, the freaking natural, dude. Let me check.
It can't be. Producer Jake just says in the private chat that it is the co-main event. Whatever, man. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know either one of these guys.
What? Dude, this is going to be a firefight.
Sure.
This is fire, dude. This is hot.
Tell me all about it then. This is your play. I have no play here. This is a no play for me. I know nothing.
Okay. Hold on. First off, dude, clearly you don't watch Dana White Contender Series.
Not a chance. I fade every contender. Nope. I fade them all. I turn it on, see what Laura Sanka is wearing, turn it off.
Same. Right. This one happened to, I was waiting for her to come on, but here's the deal, dude. This is two Dana White Contender Series debuts.
This is
facing
awful.
Each other.
And they're putting on it on a co-main. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's because these people are freaking gnarly, dude. Actually, Kyle was on Dana White Contender Series twice. He came on the first time and he looked okay. And then Dana's like, nah, dude, this isn't. It was one of those days where it's like, you don't know what type of Dana you're going to get. Like, are you going to get a Dana contract who's just like, oh, happiest guy on the planet, and divvies out a contract? Maybe. Or you're going to get someone that's actually going to be like, shit, this dude needs to KO someone, get the contract. First time Kyle goes on, gives a lackluster performance, gets the win, but not that great. Gets invited back to Dana White Contender Series, comes in, knocks the dude out, gets a contract. Godzi comes in, looks fantastic, lays the dude out, Dana White Contender Series contract. Now we've got them two fighting here. When you look at Kyle, accuracy, he's pinpoint. He's got a wide base, almost like karate style, will pinpoint from like distance, but he has power, dude. He's got some pop. He's got your South Carolina boy. What's his fucking name? Wonderboy. He's got that Wonder Boy type pinpoint precision, dude. This could be the version 2 of Wonder Boy. This could be it. It could be it.
This is, you're selling the shit out of this fight. Go ahead. Keep going.
Dude,
Wonder Boy
2.0. If he lands, people sit down, and then he has this kind of like neon belly, like ground and pound style, where it's just like he looks like DK from Mario Kart, and he just bop, 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 and then puts people out. Bro. It's a fantastic style. Godzi, on the other hand, dude, green check mark. Wrestling. This guy has wrestling, dude. He's kind of that Russian grappler that we always love to play. But he's one of those guys, kind of like what we're going to get in here with the main event here. It's boring as fuck style. It's long. Dude. It's points and it's decisions. So I think what you have to look here is, do you want to go with someone who's going to control the fight, or do you want to see someone that's maybe going to get it done with devastating fashion? I'm going to go with the Russian grappler here. I think that Godzi is someone that has good ground upon. He has the opportunity to put someone out, but he's just that control, dude. It's not what I want to watch. It's going to be very boring, but it's going to get the job done, and it's going to put some money in my pocket at minus 135.
Where's Godzi from? What country is he from?
He's from Russia, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
He says Russia.
My Tishi Russia.
Gotcha. He's got two Z's in his name, so it's hard to fade a guy with two Z's. I'm cool.
He's born in 93. He's a baby.
You say he's Russian. He's a wrestler. He's got two Z's in his name. I'm in.
Kind of has a neck beard, but he wears it a little bit higher than what we're usually comfortable with.
Nice. Mustache or no?
Yes, but he's got the kind of line in the middle, like kind of, you know, what do you call those things?
The reverse killer.
Oh, God. Yeah, I guess. I didn't know that was what it was called.
Where the one square is missing, and then
yeah. Reverse Hitler.
It's the reverse Adolf. I got you. Cool. Yeah.
Let's and do it, man. His body hair composition is also really interesting because his happy trail is a bush within itself, yeah. But then he has nothing really on his chest. So,
bro,
I know. Nice.
You're a hairy guy. You're a hairy guy. Do you wear belts? Are you a belt guy too?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course I'm wearing belts.
Okay. I mean, I wear a belt with most pants, whether I need to or not. It's just like this is the thing I do. I just don't like the way pants look without a belt. I just wear a belt.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, because I have a fuzzy belly, and sometimes like my hair on my belly gets stuck, like it'll snag occasionally on the belt. And I just don't like it. I just wonder if you're bushier than I am. I didn't know if you had that problem.
Yeah. I don't know. I've thought about it a couple times, like, you know, getting rid of the fuzz. I actually, one time in college, I took a bunch of Nair.
That dude will set you on fire.
Well, I did. And I left it on for too long. And I legitimately thought, and I was in college and I ran to my RA like a little bitch. And I said, hey, I think I burnt my nipple off. I let the Nair on for my belly for too long. And my nipple is about to come off.
Yeah.
You
knew all your RA's names, didn't you? Like, you were like friends. Like, that was like your thing. right?
Yeah, because I'm smart, dude. Because if they came in, it was like, hey, Chad, bro, I know there's beer here, but like, I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, Chad?
Chad, Colton, listen, engage. So what do we got going on here?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, TJ. Yeah. I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah, he's wearing his white Oakleys, dude. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, did you wait? The puka shell necklaces weren't in when you were there, right? That's not your thing. That was before your
time. I wore conch shell necklaces, actually.
Conch shell. Oh, damn, dude, conch shells are big, bro. It's like Lord of the Flies. What aren't conch shells big?
It conveyed dominance.
Okay, was it just one giant shell? How did that work?
Yeah, kind of like Flavor Flav, but it was just a conch shell.
Just a shell. Did you put it up to your mouth? Like, did you blow into
it? Every time I walked into a room.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right. Is there a main event? Am I going to?
There is a main event.
Oh, okay.
Vicente Luque, Bilal Muhammad, your favorite fighter of all time.
The rematch. Yeah. I'm not going to take credit for this. Somebody else said it. I saw it on Twitter today. Somebody said it was like Vicente Luque is one of the most exciting fighters on the roster. You can't put him in a boring fight. And then the UFC said, hold my beer, and booked him against Bilal Muhammad, which I thought was great. I can't remember who said it. If it was you.
I saw it. It was Strictly. I thought it was Strictly.
Was it Strictly who said it? Yeah. Somebody said it. And I'll give credit, you know, that it wasn't me that said it. I'm like Luke Thomas, who's a piece of shit. Real quick, because we didn't get a chance to mention it last time before I break this down. Luke Thomas and the cuck Brian Campbell talked about it on their show again. And they referred to us as that other podcast that we steal from. And then they tried to downplay what they stole from us by saying it was just the word "the." That's it. He literally tried to make a thing about it like they stole one word. Not that they stole, you know, two jokes worth of material. But then they kept referring, they laughed about it. They're like, oh yeah, that other podcast that we love to steal from. I hope we steal more stuff from them. Don't be mad just because you got caught. Don't be mad because somebody that listens to your show also listens to our show and felt the need to connect those dots and let us know. If you weren't so sloppy in your material, sloppy in your preparation, sloppy in your execution, sloppy in your life, you wouldn't have this problem. And realistically, two guys that jerk each other off as much as those two do about how great they perceive themselves to be, you should be more upset that you got caught just pulling some bush league nonsense. So I'll say this, and then we won't say anything else about it again. Luke Thomas or Brian Campbell, whenever you want the smoke, you can get the smoke. If you want to go MMA for MMA, boxing for boxing, or if you want to put gloves on, if you want to do whatever it is that your heart desires, I don't care if you want to go heads up on Wordle. There's nothing in your life that you can do that I won't be better than you at. So formal challenge, informal challenge, whatever. Whatever you want smoke in, you can get smoke in. You guys are clowns. You suck. And whenever you want it, you can get it. And that's that.
Yeah, I don't want to. I will defer to you for the boxing. I will pull guard, Dale. I will pull guard.
100%. Dude, listen, if they want to wrestle, it's you that's going, not me. I'm picking fights for both of us.
Yeah, I literally think about this all the time, and I think I've told my wife this a couple times. She's like, you know, if someone was like treating me unfairly at the bar and like wanted to fight, like what would you do, Trey? I would pray to God that I went surfing and I had sand in my pocket. I would throw sand in their eye, a little pocket sand, and then I would shoot for a double. Because if someone's going to throw hands with me, I will get fucked up, Dale. I will die.
I don't think that's the case. I've seen your hands. You're a knuckly little fucker. Like, you got big old knuckles. You got big hairy knuckles. I think if you started swinging those hammers around, you'd be surprised what you could do. I think you'd be surprised. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell your
hairy knuckles. That's a dad thing. That's a real thing.
Oh, 100%. I had kids and all of a sudden I couldn't hear. And I was like, why have I gone deaf? And it was because my ears filled with hair the moment I had a kid. Dude, I shave my ears more than my face, I have a beard, so that doesn't happen. Dude, I shave my ears regularly, like twice a week. I'm shaving my ears. It's unbelievable.
It's like a little forest in there.
It is. It really is. There's no bugs getting in my ears, bro. They can't.
Oh, the woodland fairies, dude. Nice. Yeah.
100%. All right. Vicente Luque -171. Bilal Muhammad +146. Over in rounds of 4.5. Momentum would lead us to believe that Bilal's going to get this done, right?
Oh, man.
But this is a rematch, and I love Vicente Luque. And there's not a whole lot of guys on the roster I would bet against. To beat him, and this is one of those spots. I'm gonna go with Luque again here, knowing full well that Bilal could in fact wrestle Bethlehem here, as he has done with other people before. I hate that they keep giving Bilal Muhammad apex matchups because it's a smaller cage and it plays into his bullshit style. Which isn't bullshit. Listen, I say it's bullshit, but if it was a Russian guy doing it, I wouldn't care. I just something about Bilal is unlikable to me, and I'm not sure what it is. And I want Luque to win this fight. There's a bias attached to this pick. I will admit that. I like Luque more than I like Bilal. I think it's because Bilal blocked me on Instagram back when I had my own Instagram before. We got into an exchange of words, and he blocked me, which we block people all the time. So in my immaturity, I was very upset by that. But now I understand the relief that comes from blocking people. So I don't hold that against him. I just kind of hold the Leon Edwards crying about the eye poke, I deserve an immediate rematch thing. I think that's what I hold against him.
This is such a tough one, dude, because we talk about guys that have a specific style, but they always ditch their game plan. That's not Bilal, dude. He's so fight IQ smart. He knows what he's good at. The wrestling style, he will go out there, and that's exactly what you're going to get. You order it, you're going to get it, dude. Yeah. Vicente Luque is, I would call him the polar opposite of that, because he is well-rounded. Ooh. He is well-rounded, but he is someone that whatever style is brought upon him, whatever is dictated, he conforms to. And that's the problem. And not only does he conform, he fucking triples down. He's like, bitch, let's go. I bite down on my mouth guard and I just go. And he puts himself in precarious situations. He puts himself in issues that are like, hey, you know, this is not in my wheelhouse, but I am going to come out victorious. And he normally does. Great example, dude. When we want to talk about wrestling, when he fought Michael Chiesa, big for the division, great wrestling style, dude. Yeah. He made Michael Chiesa look like, dude, I don't want to be here anymore. And not only did he do that,
he
Chiesa'd him. He put him in a fucking Darce choke and put him out in the first round. We're talking about a guy that's three times the size of Bilal, who has the wrestling chops to at least be in the same pedigree as Bilal.
Yeah.
I think the striking, the bite down on your mouthpiece, the jiu-jitsu he has, the explosion he has, the strength he has. Vicente is a solid pick here, but man, is it hard to fade someone who's smart and also like has a one dimension that he's super fucking good at.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. I think that's a great observation that Luque's like, oh, you're going to kickbox me? Cool, let's kickbox. Oh, you want to jits me? Let's do some jits. Oh, you want to wrestle? Right. Let's wrestle. I think that's a great point. He will just like go, oh, I'm just going to fight you the way you want to fight me. That's really good. And then will he be able to out-wrestle Bilal? Because clearly that's what Bilal is going to want to do. I'm still going to go with Luque. I think, dude, your point is poignant, and I didn't even think about that. I'm blushing for you. That's a fucking great point. I'm still going Luque, though. I'm still going Luque. It's so good. That's a great point. I'm still going with him.
What are your thoughts about, you know, they have it set at 4.5, dude.
Well, yeah, because they're anticipating Bilal to wrestle fucking for 25 minutes. They're hedging the opportunity for Bilal by just wrestle death.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll take Luque.
I'm not really interested in a prop play here.
I think we need to wait, though, because I think that it's going to get even closer. More money's going to come in on Bilal. So I'm going to wait the last minute to drop some cash on Luque.
I like it. See if we get the line better.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
I like it.
All right, dude. I know you didn't do prelims last week, or you kind of breezed through, you know, here and there. And you know, we're gonna do the main card this week, and then we'll release prelim plays and breakdowns on Instagram this week at Punchel7A. So follow us on there. It's not the normal going forward, but that's what we're going to do this week because I'm on vacation. I got a house full of people I'm going to get back into. But it's, I can't miss 2 weeks in a row. It's just not in my wheelhouse. I was bummed missing last week. So I appreciate you holding out with Max. You stepped up on short notice, and I appreciate it.
Hey, it's pretty easy to sit back and get high with Max.
Yeah, Max had his own agenda for sure, and I love him for it.
He's a legend.
Absolutely, that guy's a king. So yeah, modified show this week. Back normal next week. I'll be back at the house, you know, in studio, if you will, and we'll make it happen. Look for the prelim plays on Instagram this week, and yeah, fights on Saturday night. I'll be back for those, so we'll be able to rock and roll on IG with everybody as normal. Appreciate everybody that continues to stick around, stick with us, support us, do everything you possibly can. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you on Saturday.
Have a solid bang bang.